Good morning, Antrim. It's always good to be back home. And I always want to just start by thanking Antrim for their continued faithful support. We've been in New Mexico. September will be 17 years. And we're back here. We had the privilege of attending my niece's wedding. I was held here yesterday up the sanctuary. And we're also back renewing our term for another 3 years. For those of you who are maybe new to Antrim and you don't never seen us before, we attended Antrim from probably around the fall of 96 to the summer of 2007. And so I just want to, we've been in New Mexico 17 years now, and it's always good to come back home. So for me, it's easier to kind of give a message if I have a PowerPoint. So my message this morning is kind of a threefold message. It's to give a family update, it's to give a ministry update, and to share the message I felt God put on my heart. If I had a title for my message, it would probably be, is Christ's power resting on you, or are you resting in his power? And so we're looking forward to, we know several of you in here are going to be coming out to our neck of the woods here in, I think, about 3 weeks. And I'll share a little bit more about that later. But we look forward to hosting you guys out in New Mexico. And so put on your desert shoes. So it's not going to be quite as green. Although it's dry here right now, it's not going to be quite as green there. I wanted to just start. Here's a recent family picture. This was at our daughter Lydia's wedding last month in Wichita, Kansas. Our two oldest, Noah and his wife Emily, are actually here this morning. They live in Hayes, Kansas. Our daughter Lydia and Ty, they also live in Hayes, Kansas. Our daughter Mercy is going to be staying in Hayes, Kansas for about 3 weeks on our way back to New Mexico. So I'm hoping I don't get a phone call from her saying, "Dad, I'm moving to Kansas." But and then Elijah, he's in New Mexico with his work schedule. He wasn't able to come with us. And then we got Mercy, Sarah, and Rhema with us here this morning. So just a recent picture of our family's growing, and we invite our in-laws and our son-in-law and our daughter-in-law, Emily and Ty. They're a perfect fit for our family. So when I was talking with Pastor Casey about today, he was saying just kind of focus a message on a scripture passage. And right away when he said that, I knew exactly which scripture passage to speak on. And you can go to that. Yeah, there's the scripture. It's been on our prayer cards. And we do have updated prayer cards. I put them in up there where the missions table is. And the missions office, they said, well, to fit the prayer map, just add your kids that are with you at home now. And so our prayer cards got smaller in numbers. But this passage has been on our prayer card ever since we have been working under the Brethren in Christ World Missions. And I want to just read that. It's 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power," and I want you to focus on that today, "my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties." And I want to just also thank you guys for the missions update on what God's doing in your area as well. So I'm gonna go through my PowerPoint quickly because I said in first service, my wife said that the older I get, the more like Kenny Myers I become. That he talks a lot, and I guess I can have a tendency to ramble now. So those of you who know my dad, I had to throw that in there. So you can go to the next slide. Like I said, 17 years out in New Mexico, all we knew was Pennsylvania and farm life. And, you know, so we get out to New Mexico, and the first 2 years were probably some of the most difficult years, at least for me. I won't speak for Rochelle, but I think she could probably say that as well, because as a farmer, you know, you grow up, and I'm grateful for this day for a strong work ethic. There isn't a trailer in New Mexico that I can't back up. And people are like, where did you learn how to back up trailers so well? And I said, well, that comes from experience on the farm. But so we move out there, and you come out of a lifestyle of, you know, how if you're a farmer here, you know how much work that entails. And the cows need milked every day, and it's work, work, work. And so I get out there, and I'm like, okay, what do you want us to do now, Lord? And I really wrestled with having some of that work ethic, quote unquote. The Lord knew some of that needed to be broken off because he's like, look, you need to learn how to rest in my power. And nothing wrong with hard work. You know, I love working hard, and that's good. But it can get to the place sometimes where it consumes us, and it gets us off target, and we're not resting in his power. And so the first 2 years was all about surrender and growing roots. You know, surrendering to flesh, what we want, it's not an easy thing to do. And the Lord's like, I got to clean you up in some areas. I got to show you how to rest in my power and surrender to some things before I can show you and use you what I called you to come out to New Mexico for. And so during this period of surrender and growing roots, and like I said, I could kind of put it in the first 2 years. You can go to the next slide. Marriage is a tough part sometimes. And later I'll show a picture. This is a big year for Rochelle and I. We both turned 50, and December we'll be married for 30 years. And how many in here, raise your hands if marriage is easy? You know, and then when you're in ministry and you got six kids, and it's like, what, I got to be work, I got to be busy. You know, that puts a strain on a lot of different areas of your life. And I said in first service, you know, if my wife could share a lot, and I'm glad that I have the mic right now, but she could share a lot about the inconsistencies, and my kids just as well, inconsistencies of over the years of sometimes putting ministry and work above them. And so that's something that I learned. And so marriage was not an easy thing, especially on the mission field ministry. There's a lot of expectations from a variety of different ways it's coming at you. You can go to the next slide. And as I said, with six kids, you know, we were pregnant with our fifth child when we moved to New Mexico, and she's 16 now. And so I put this picture up because there's a little brother duct taping his sister up to the wall, and I had to share this because I had two boys, four girls, and Noah's here today. He's the oldest, and he decided to one day talk to his little brother, Elijah, and say, Elijah, let me duct tape you up to the laundry or the clothesline. And so Elijah's like, okay, so, you know, I don't know where I was, but I guess I was at work. I just heard about this, but Noah duct taped Elijah up to the clothesline, and Elijah was standing on a bucket. And Noah said, Elijah, I promise I won't kick the bucket out from under your feet. Well, after having him duct taped up, I think he didn't even have a shirt on, right? And imagine that bucket being kicked and Elijah, choom. And so, you know, I share that example because that's just one of many things that, you know, and that's a comical thing. Maybe not so much for Elijah this day, but, you know, raising kids, ministry, your marriage, living up to expectations, working, you know, God was exposing a lot of weaknesses in me. You know, started having me question, doubt, man, am I being a good husband? Am I being a good father? Am I being a good son of him? Am I making a difference in ministry? And so you can go to the next slide. And so, you know, despite this exposing of not rest of my weaknesses and not resting in Christ's power, things picked up and started kicking off in ministry. There was fruit that was being planted, and yet we were in the middle of raising our kids, homeschooling. Their schedules became busier, which created, especially Rochelle's schedule to become busier. And I dumped a lot on Rochelle's plate for the sake of, you know, ministry. You know, that's where it's at. And you have to present things and you have to show fruit. And, you know, just became busier and busier. And that's kind of what I looked like some days, probably what Rochelle looked like some days. And it became more, as far as ministry, I realized it started becoming more about what I can do in my own strength. And we can do a lot in our own strength, but then it becomes less about resting in His power. And God was teaching me, and that scripture verse was just, I realized that, yeah, we put it on our prayer cards at the beginning, but it was like, there was so much more behind that scripture that God was showing us. You can go to the next slide. And then if you were here the last time I spoke at Antrim, I talked a little bit about lies from the enemy and identity. And through this whole time, God was showing me how He saw me. And I was learning about how that I was to see myself the way God saw me. And I was letting lies of the enemy tell me other things. And so the devil's lies and accusations, they became louder. You know, you are failing as a husband. You are failing as a father. And you're not making a difference in ministry. And I want to read a scripture from Matthew. Well, you could go to the next slide. And I want to ask the question, are you living according to any what ifs? And let me expand on that a little bit by reading Matthew 4, 1 through 11. So this is Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And I want you to listen to the words if in this scripture. There's three different times where the word if is used. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." I know I was warned that the slides might go a little slow. I think I have it on my phone here. Oh, and then I'm going to need these. This is another thing that I... All right. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. At this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. And I want to just say, aren't you glad that Jesus didn't give in to the ifs? And there's some ifs in my life, and I want to challenge you. Is there ifs in your life that the enemy's speaking to you to keep you stuck from moving forward into what God has for you? You know, in ministry, one of the big ifs, I forgot to share this in the first service, and I'll share it now, but through this time, growing up on the farm, and I shared this from my message that I shared the last time I was here, but you know, I had two older brothers, and they got to do all the important jobs. And I had to push crap out of the barn. One day, my dad asked me to mow hay with the hay bine, and I'm not going to go into that story, but I crashed the hay bine that day. And another time, I was driving over to the other farm to feed the heifers, and we recently had bought a newer farm truck. And it snowed, and I ended up driving off the road into the snow, and I laid it on its side. You remember that, Kev? And so I say that because those were two things that the enemy used throughout my life to open the door to speak lies to me. See, if I ever get back in the hay bind, if I ever get back in the truck, and if I give in to the ifs, I might wreck it again. And so that kept me in a nice little neat box. Don't ever step out of my comfort zone. And the Lord was calling me into these things. And then, you know, what I primarily do, the most of my work now is I'm the director of a transition program for guys coming out of prison on parole. And before we bought property, convicted by Christ, we bought property and opened up this home. The enemy was speaking to me, and he said, if you open up this home working with criminals or ex-cons, and I don't like referring to them as that because they're people who made mistakes, which we're all in that category. But we've worked with some murder charges. We've worked with some violent crime charges, and the enemy was trying to get me to back up from that and say, if you open that up and you make one of those guys mad, they might come at you. They might come and kill you. They might come and stab you. And so those are the kind of ifs that I had to work my way through and trust God and rest in his power, be exposed through my weaknesses, trust him. And so you can go to the next slide. And so I picked this slide because it has one of the ways for me that makes the most sense of Christ's power is thinking about the ocean and the waves. If anybody of you have ever been to the ocean, you've got caught in a rip current. There were two times that I felt like my life flashed before me, and it both involved the ocean. I thought I was going to drown. I'm not the greatest swimmer, but I thought, you know, who needs a life jacket? I'm jumping in. And I was being taken away. And but Christ's power, it reminds me of a picture of the ocean waves. And so, let's see. So this was a time of just learning more to rest in his power. You know, during this time, I dealt with some anxiety and panic attacks. Without even asking, I felt like the Lord's, he brought healing to me. The more I came into the understanding of how I saw myself and understood how he saw me, the more healing I received. And I'm thanking him for the healing from the anxiety and panic attacks. And so some of the results from learning how, from letting him expose my weaknesses and learning how to rest in Christ's power. You can go to the next picture. We've made it to almost 30 years. And I think today's day and age, that's an accomplishment to say that. And it hasn't been easy. It's been a roller coaster. But we've made it 30 years. And you can go to the next picture. And here's, I'm just so proud of this group here. With our additions to our family, you know, our kids, I can't be more proud of them for where the decisions they've made, for the spouses that they're choosing, for the dedication that I see them making to God themselves. And you know, when they're small and you're raising them, you really doubt, man, are we leading them in the right way? And so I'm so thankful that I can put that picture up there, and I'm proud of the family that God has given us. And that's because of learning how to rest in Christ's power. And you can go to the next one. I said I'd do just a real quick snippet of ministry updates. Most of you are probably familiar with Convicted by Christ. It was a support group for guys coming out of jail and prison, wrestling with addictions. And this is a recent picture from our Thursday night meetings. Convicted by Christ now has come under the covering as a BIC church. And I'm the pastor of that. And so we meet on Thursday nights. You hear things, you see things that you're not going to typically hear in your traditional church service. But for some of these men coming out of prison, they would never step foot in a church service because of judgments, because of, oh, well, I know what you did. And that's unfortunate sometimes that the church, that's not who we're supposed to be as the church. But that's that. And then we started in September 2011. So we're getting ready to celebrate our 13th year. And you can go to the next picture. I could have Rochelle come up and share about this. But so Convicted by Christ, it's a men's church service, men's support group, but we also have a ladies support group that meets the same time. I don't know if you've ever wrestled with addictions, but when you're in recovery, it kind of helps if you're separated, men and women, to really focus on your own recovery, and that's why we do it that way. But we started having men and women show up, and they brought their kids. And Rochelle was at group the one night, and she's like, you got a lot of kids here. What are you doing about it? And I'm like, I'm just focusing on the men's group right now. And so she took it upon herself, and she started Sparks Children. So it's they meet the same time on Thursday nights. And she has anywhere from 15 to 20 kids. They pretty much all come from broken homes. You can imagine parents who've been incarcerated, parents working on their own recovery. These kids are, in many aspects, they've seen and they know more than their age that should be because of the home environments they've been brought up in. But that's growing, and Rochelle has other ladies and women that are there to help provide food, and we're just excited to see what God is doing in that. And the last clip you can pull up, here's a picture of outside of Byron's House of Hope. Byron was an inmate that I worked with when he first got out of prison. He was in 16 years, and he took his life a year and a half after getting released. And so we named the transition program after him. Convicted by Christ, we bought property. It was an old homeless shelter. And so one of the projects that the Antrim team is coming out at the back end of our property, we have a shed, and right now it's being used as a small weight room. These guys coming out of prison to keep their sanity sometimes and to keep them on the right path of recovery, working out, going to the gym is important. And so Antrim's going to be coming out, and they're going to be taking that shed down because it was burnt at one time, and they restructured it. There's a concrete pad next to the shed. They're taking that building down, adding the addition, and we're going to increase our weight room, workout room for the guys that are in the program. Byron's house, the guys come for 6 months to a year. They're all on parole. They come straight from New Mexico prison. And again, I can show you these pictures, and it's neat to see them, but what I want you to focus this morning on, as God exposed my weaknesses, He taught me how to rest, and I'm still working on it. I don't got it all together. I'm still working on learning how to rest in His power. And I want to just close with a prayer, and I want to, as I was seeking the Lord on how to end the message, I felt like He wanted me to ask you all this question. And what is it that's keeping you from resting in Christ's power? And I felt like the Lord highlighted some things to me. And one thing was control. And I'm not here to point fingers or put anyone on the spot, because I can be controlling about things. Control things. I'm going to do things my way. Then I can keep everything within my own grasp, or so we think. Surrender. Surrender is giving up control, and that's not hard to do. We like our fleshly desires, and there's nothing wrong with desiring things. God put that within us. But surrender can be scary. It can make things feel like it's out of control. It breaks down our fleshly desires, and there were many times I felt out of control, especially in those first 2 years. And I also felt like the Lord wanted me to highlight, I work with guys with addictions every day, and a lot of them revolve around drugs and alcohol. But, you know, we're all in the same category. We all are addicted to something. And I felt like some of the addictions God wanted me to highlight was, and an addiction reminder is anything that steals your time away from resting in His power and resting in His presence. And I felt like He was highlighting our phones, games that we play on our phones, you know, work. Again, there's nothing wrong with a hard day's work, but if it consumes us to the point where we're not caring for our family, our wife and our kids the way we should, that's a problem. Sports. I can say there's times I watch sports too much. TV, shopping. You know, I could go on, but you know what takes up the majority of your time. And there's a part of that where we have to step out in obedience. Whatever He shows us and reveals to as He exposes our weaknesses, you know, we need to follow through and be obedient, and whatever it is He asks of us. And I hope I can be an example here this morning of what it looks like to, it's okay to have your weaknesses exposed in order for Christ's power to continue to rest on you. Thank you.